Julian Assange is being extradited from Britain to America. But mm-hmm. before talking about that, I think it's worthwhile just having a rundown of all of the things that have gone on. Not only his background, just in case you don't know who he is, although mm-hmm. I'm going to go through that relatively quickly because I'm going to assume you're at least familiar, because this is, of course, been something that's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, and I imagine it's something that's quite well known among our audience as well.
Of course.
But we shall still do a bit of an Assange-splainer.
Yes. And there's also some very interesting revelations coming on about how the Trump regime dealt with Assange, which is quite surprising. It might actually take you back a little bit. But anyway, moving on to who he actually is, and I'm going to be reading from the Press Gazette article here, talking about the decade-long battle, but I'm only taking some extracts. But the full article is very good if you wanted a full rundown, mm-hmm. all the details, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want to bore you with needless detail. So, who is Julian Assange? And it says, Assange is an Australian national, is best known for founding whistleblowing platform WikiLeaks in 2006. The organisation describes itself as a multinational media organisation, an associated library having released over 10 million documents over its first 10 years of operation, which is quite staggering, isn't it? And has won numerous journalistic accolades, including from The Economist, Time and Amnesty International. Mm. So it's not like they're a fringe organisation.
No, and I mean, you could argue as well that, and Jeff, you'll probably mention this later, that they were in some part degree responsible for Trump getting elected as well. So,
in some loose way, because they published Hillary Clinton's emails, didn't they?
They did.
So I wonder why they're going after him. No. And it carries on. Nonetheless, its method of bulk publication without editing are controversial. It's talking about just publishing all of the documents without actually reading through them, say, redacting information that might be compromising, things like that, leading it to be accused of compromising the safety and privacy of sources and operatives in both civilian and combat environments. Yeah. And although I'm probably pro-Assange, I can certainly see this argument in that if you're just publishing a massive payload of documents,
emails, yeah.
Then you don't know what's in there. You haven't looked through everything. There could be something that's very severe that, had it been read, you probably wouldn't want to publish it. So,
yes, and I can see that argument. However, I think that greater good is done.
Yes, that's ultimately the side I come down on as well.
By a long way. And I also think that a lot of the people whose safety is compromised are people who don't necessarily deserve to not have their secrecy compromised, even if it does compromise.
Careful what you're saying. You're not going to be coming into work tomorrow if you take that line.
Might have a mysterious accident on the bus.
So the article carries on. Assange played a central role in the organisation, acting as its director and playing a key role in obtaining and distributing confidential material. Leaks have included emails from the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee during the 2016 US presidential election. Nearly 300,000 emails from Turkey's ruling Justice and Development Party, as well as more than 750,000 documents, videos and files detailing US actions and alleged war crimes during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. One leaked video showed a US Army helicopter operative laughing while firing and killing civilians and two Reuters journalists during the Iraq war. And I have seen this video, and I'm obviously not going to show it because it's awful. And I think this latter thing is probably why the government's going after him, right? Mm-hmm.
He's airing their dirty laundry in public.
Yes, and I think that this is obviously a very important thing because these are war crimes. You're murdering. The government is defending people who have murdered innocent people, and I don't think anyone can really justify that.
Yeah,
and laughing while they do it as well in this one case. But there are many, many examples of horrendous things that our governments have covered up about how we acted in the Middle East. And although I'm not exactly I don't have a bleeding heart for, you know, we're going after the terrorists, oh, boo-hoo. I don't care about the terrorists. Yeah. But, you know, innocent people who are just trying to live their lives, they don't deserve to be killed. And I think that this is why I think that, yes, he was doing good work here. He should be defended. He's being a proper journalist. He's exposing some horrendous stuff that people should know about.
Yeah.
So the article goes on to say, it's got a subheading saying, what is happening now? And it says, the extradition of Julian Assange to the United States for his role in the WikiLeaks release of classified US documents was approved by Home Secretary Priti Patel this month. And Just to quickly explain why he's in Britain in the first place. I think he was in the Ecuadorian embassy, wasn't he, in Britain, and then eventually he got evicted and he got sent to Belmarsh prison on seemingly trumped up charges. I think he broke some bail conditions or something like that, but basically they were just punishing him. And also worth mentioning that Belmarsh prison is one of our worst prisons. And for someone who's not, you know, physically dangerous, he's just a journalist, it seems a little bit, well, more punitive than going to prison in the first place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So under the 2003 Extradition Act, the Secretary of State must sign an extradition order once any legal grounds potentially prohibiting it are removed. This came in March when the Supreme Court denied Assange's right to appeal an earlier High Court ruling that greenlit his extradition. Patel's decision dashes one of the final hopes Assange and his supporters had of preventing his extradition. Although required by law to do so, Patel could have refused to sign the order without facing legal consequences.
So just some clarification, that's the UK Supreme Court, is it?
I'm not entirely sure, but
was there even the UK Supreme Court in 2003? Because it must have been one of its first rulings, if that were the case.
I think
the Extradition Act is 2003, sorry. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, but all of that doesn't really matter. The point being that he's going there almost for certain now. There's not really any reversing it from this point. And it goes on to outline some perspectives from journalists, and it's quite an unlikely alliance of people. And I am going to go on to lots of people who are supporting him just to show how much of a broad church it really is. You've got socialists on the one hand, you've got right-wingers on the other, and it's something that actually an issue where the left and right are kind of united against the neoliberal neocon centre.
Yeah, it seems to me the big divide on this issue is arguably much more important than left and right, and it's state versus subjects.
Yes, and I think that's something that I tend to care about a little bit more, especially these days when the state is trying to expand its power so egregiously. So it goes on to say, Assange, his team and his supporters have described the extradition as an attack on freedom of speech and a threat to journalists globally, which I very much agree with. I mean, of course it is. It's the government using its power to silence someone who they don't like. That's what's going on here. It's been a matter of debate for years as to whether Assange should be classified as a journalist. Bit harsh. The Washington Post argued in 2019, following Assange's initial arrest, that he was not a free press hero, citing his tactics of dumping material into the public domain without any effort independently to verify its factuality or give named individuals an opportunity to comment, as something a real journalist would not do.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is like when they say about Count Dacula's like so-called comedian. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
They're just trying to undermine his credibility there.
I also find it a bit rich coming from the Washington Post talking about real journalism.
Well, the Washington Post is basically saying here, a real journalist curates the narrative to support their own agenda. Julian Assange not doing that is not
It's a probably journalist. A better practice not to adulterate the content of what you're publishing, isn't it? So yeah. People can actually make up their own mind.
Exactly. You might say on the one hand, oh no, he's just being lazy. Like people, possibly foreign intelligence agencies, just give him this info and he dumps it out without even, you know, taking the time to flick through it. But on the other hand, like if he could put the diligence in and very carefully just curate what's coming out, and that would be actually more sinister in a way.
I agree, yeah.
Even if it were for the greater good overall, protecting sources and so on.
Surely the greatest journalistic transparency is just to publish something unadulterated, isn't it? That's what you would want.
Yeah.
But of course, don't listen to what the Washington Post have to say about journalistic integrity, because they don't have a lick of it, do they? Anyway, it carries on. Nonetheless, many in the press feel as though Assange, journalist or not, acted in the interest of free speech and in line with common journalistic practice, which is, again, true. Telegraph lead writer, Philip Johnson argued soon after Patel's decision that the extradition should alarm anyone who wants to live in a free country. That's nice to see some of our more establishment newspapers actually caring about freedom for once. Andrew Neil also argued in the Mail following the announcement that the decision has stakes for the future of a free press and its ability to undertake investigative journalism that embarrasses or shames the powers that be. He added that the extradition would chill investigative journalism across the globe and embolden and empower those who want to suppress its ability to reveal unpalatable facts.
Well, that's absolutely true. And it's true of the entire treatment of Assange over the last 10 years.
Absolutely. And we are going to get into that. And it is absolutely appalling. Like, if you need any more reasons to hate your government, particularly in the UK and US, because we're, you know, the ones mostly to blame, although Australia as well, they haven't really intervened to defend their citizens' rights. So they're not exactly off the hook either. So to conclude this article here, it goes on to say, in addition, the charges against Assange in the US are being brought using the 1917 Espionage Act, essentially branding him a spy, which is obviously nonsense, and they know it. Tim Dawson, a national executive member of the UK's National Union of Journalists, told a rally in 2020, the legal devices being deployed to try and take him to the US are unprecedented and terrifying for anyone whose journalism touches on state security, defence, or espionage. If Assange is sent here to start a prison sentence, that could be as long as 175 years, then no journalist is safe. And this 175 years figure has been verified, and it's been reported by multiple sources. And it's also incredibly absurd for what he's done.
Right.
Just for a reminder, let's look at what Ghislaine Maxwell, underage child sex trafficker, and you know, 20 years compared to 175. I mean, says a lot about the powers that be, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Your friends get the 20-year sentence, whereas...
And I wonder what the grooming gang perpetrators are. Oh, they're already out.
Yeah.
Goodness me, that's how short their sentences were. And 175 years for Assange.
It's so disproportionate, isn't it? You can just tell he's ruffled the wrong feathers.
Well, this is why the real divide is, as I say, state and subject most of the time.
Yes, and it has got pretty bad so far. So here's an article from The Independent titled, Julian Assange strip searched and moved to bear cell on day extradition announced, wife says. And this has been reported by lots of others as well. And apparently the authorities say that this is for his own protection.
Oh, yes.
From who?
Them.
From, yeah. If anyone's a threat, it is the government's, right? And I don't think an empty cell is for his own protection, is it? So it's also worth mentioning, all the way back on the 7th of July 2021, Hugo wrote an article saying that a key witness against Julian Assange lied in his indictment. And reading from this is quite illuminating,
really?
Because you really get a picture of what the intelligence agencies were up to try and get this guy. So.
Okay.
I'm reading Hugo's words directly here. The Icelandic newspaper Stundin published a report on the 26th of June summarising an interview conducted with Sigurdur Igni Fordarson. Terrible at pronouncing these sorts of things. A key witness in the indictment of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. According to Stundin, in the interview, Fordarson had simply admitted to numerous crimes he had committed in Iceland, as well as to fabricating accusations against Assange. Despite Fordarson's history of criminal activity, including the sexual abuse of minors, his diagnosis of sociopathy, his claims have played an important role in keeping Assange in custody to this day.
I remember this guy. So he was basically a rotten criminal paedophile, by the sound of it.
I mean, he's about as monstrous as a human being can get.
Yeah, so someone who you could probably get on side in order to inform on someone who you didn't like, possibly in return for a more lenient sentence.
He's your typical intelligence agency informant.
We need someone to inform on someone we don't like. Round up the usual suspects, and this guy is exactly who you expect.
Yeah, Sigurdur had volunteered for WikiLeaks in 2010 and 2011. During this time, he repeatedly used his position to enrich himself at the expense of the organisation and its credibility. According to Stundin, his activity in cooperation with prolific hacker-turned-FBI informant resulted in a denial-of-service DDoS attacks against Icelandic websites and government institutions in 2011. Which were likely conducted by the FBI itself in an attempt to implicate Julian Assange in criminal activities beyond his journalistic career.
Whose speculation is that?
This is Stundin, this Icelandic newspaper.
Wow.
But I can certainly believe that. In the same year, when relations soured between Fordarson and WikiLeaks due to his embezzlement of the organisation's money, he turned to the FBI to become an informant against Assange. This relationship would last for several months, during which he would simultaneously become a target of Icelandic authorities. And I'm quoting directly here. Fordarson's charges were piling up against Fordarson for massive fraud, forgeries and theft on the one hand, and for sexual violations against underage boys he had tricked or forced into sexual acts on the other, explained Stundin. According to a psychiatric assessment presented to the courts, Fordarson was diagnosed as a sociopath, incapable of remorse, but still criminally culpable for his actions. He was assessed to be able to understand the basic difference between right and wrong. He just did not seem to care. I mean, I could have told you that.
But, yeah.
But yes, this is one of the FBI's key witnesses. Clearly about as rotten as it can get. Mm-hmm. And it's also worth mentioning here, a point pointed out by Glenn Greenwald. Remember when WikiLeaks published thousands of documents in 2016 that revealed such extensive corruption by the DNC that its top five officials, including its chair, were forced to resign, and now Dems cheer and lead the attempt to imprison Julian Assange for life. So there is an element of punitive
revenge
party politics here, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd draw some attention to that. And one of the most important things I want to draw attention to is this story. And this is absolutely ridiculous. So Mike Pompeo, summoned by court to explain alleged US government plot to assassinate Julian Assange, says Spanish media reports. And this is the Spanish court trying to hold them accountable for what is explained as an attempted plan, or a plan to attempt to assassinate Julian Assange, so which didn't actually go ahead.
They are investigating the possibility that he may have had state-assisted suicide.
Yes.
Wow.
So Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State under President Donald Trump, has been summoned by a Spanish court to explain an alleged US government plot to assassinate WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, according to ABC Spain. The alleged plot was first revealed by Yahoo News in September, which reported that senior CIA and Trump administration officials discussed possibly kidnapping or killing Julian Assange after being angered by WikiLeaks' publication of sensitive CIA hacking tools. And I can certainly believe this, although, of course, it should be taken with a bit of pinch of salt because it is just people's accounts of what was going on behind closed doors. The discussion took place at the highest levels of the Trump administration, a former senior counterintelligence official told the outlet, with officials even requesting sketches or options for how to assassinate Assange.
I can totally believe that.
Absolutely. Pompeo has been called in to appear in the Spanish court in connection with a probe into whether Spanish security firm UC Global spied on Assange while providing security for the Ecuadorian embassy in London, sources close to the case told ABC Spain. Which, again, I can almost certainly believe that part, that they were spying on him. Of course they were. Assange sought political asylum to live in the embassy for 7 years before being ousted in 2019, as I suggested, alluded to earlier, sorry.
Yeah, he went in there while I was at university down the road, I remember. Mm. It was a big deal about it.
Lots of protests in London about that, as in defending him, obviously. Mm-hmm. Spanish National High Court Judge Santiago Pedras summoned Pompeo and former US counterintelligence official William Evina as witnesses to explain the alleged assassination plot and whether they received information through the security firm. Evina allegedly previously confessed to having access to security camera footage and audio recordings from inside the Ecuadorian embassy, Assange's lawyer claimed in the letters seen by the Spanish outlet The Objective. So yes, this is some proper insider information, if it's to be believed, of some spycraft going on here, isn't it? Against Assange, carried out by the US government, it seems, and the intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
And this is massive.
Absolutely.
If it's true. Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, I am encouraging some speculation. However, I do believe it at the same time.
Mm. I just want to say, Josh, it's been nice knowing you and a pleasure working with you.
Yeah, I'm not suicidal. So if I go missing, you know what happened. So it's worth going through the massive backlog. Backlog, that's not the right word, the massive collection of people who are actually in support of Julian Assange. And here we have the Council of Europe's commissioner calling on the UK government not to extradite Julian Assange. So we've got...
For once, I'm on Europe's side here.
I know. It's an unwieldy collection here. Mm. Obviously, Edward Snowden, surprise, surprise, says Julian Assange is a political prisoner, and there he is looking pretty worse for wear, being carried away with a white beard, looking almost like a ghost amongst the people there. Mm. And then we have an interesting anecdote here from Ian Overton. And he says, when I first met Julian Assange, he was wearing a bulletproof vest. And to be fair, I thought he was a bit paranoid. Then my offices where we were teaming up with WikiLeaks were broken into 3 times. Now with Julian facing life in prison, I know 100% it wasn't paranoia. I think that's a fair point.
Just want to point out that we have no connection with WikiLeaks.
That's true, yes. I don't have any American state government documents to publish. I'm a good boy. Please don't kill me. And moving on, this is a Chinese government official.
Oh my God.
The case of Julian Assange is a mirror. It reflects the hypocrisy of the US and the UK on press freedom.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing. Communist Party of China, that great bastion of free speech and freedom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're just doing this for international political point scoring.
Well, it's even with the old Soviet Union, right? A lot of the time, they would be reasonably on point with their criticisms of shady stuff.
Well, the best criticisms are the ones that are true, aren't they?
Exactly, and they're the most motivated to find and explain them. You know, it doesn't mean that they are right, but it means that they can actually be right about these things sometimes.
And we have the former leader of the Labour Party here trying to crowdfund a fundraiser to stop the extradition of Julian Assange, which
this is exactly the sort of thing in which Corbyn is at his best.
I would say so as well. I mean, obviously, not a fan of Corbyn and his socialist policies ordinarily, but on this, he is right. Mm-hmm. And here we have a Labour MP as well, saying that it's appalling news that Julian Assange was strip searched and moved to a bare cell on the day Priti Patel agreed to his extradition. It's cruel, degrading and deliberately humiliating. This kind of treatment seems designed to break him for his role in exposing US war crimes. 100% agree. So yes, a rare time where left and right, or at least not the establishment right, agree on these sorts of things. And here's the Guardian of all journalistic outlets. Extraditing Julian Assange would be a gift to secretive, oppressive regimes. Yes. And here we have a Republican in the United States, Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying, this is replying to AOC, how about you explain slowly why you won't support a pardon for Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, and continue to explain why you're a shill for the MIC funding war in Ukraine, or are you too busy organizing baby-killing riots?
Oof. I mean, yeah, that's actually a really good litmus test. If Alexandria, AOC and the squad and so on don't come out, if they're silent on this or they take the establishment line on that, then you just know 110% they are completely co-opted by the establishment.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've already made up my mind on that one. So there is, of course, cases of people not being supportive as well. And here we have the Toronto Star of all places weighing in. Julian Assange is no hero for being reckless with data. And this is basically the state's line, isn't it? This is the reason why he's being arrested. But actually, very few journalists have been coming out and saying this. I had to do a bit of digging just to find it. Whereas go back a couple of years and everyone was joining in just like, yes, he's a criminal. You shouldn't defend him. He's not a journalist. And it seems to me that those people have become very quiet. It's funny that it's almost like the mood has changed a little bit. But yes, I thought it'd be worthwhile drawing attention to this because there are some appalling things that the intelligence agencies have done to someone who I believe should be regarded as not necessarily a hero, but someone to be admired in the world of journalism, which is a rare thing these days because there aren't many good journalists. So I hope you actually follow up on this video and read a little bit about what he's published and some of the things that the alphabet agencies have tried to do to him in retaliation, because it is appalling and it's a perfect example of how the state doesn't respect your rights.
Thank you for watching that segment from the podcast Lotus Eaters. If you enjoyed that, you can sign up to become a member on our website and access our premium content. For instance, this recent Epochs from Carl and Beau, where they talk about Alfred the Great. If you're interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Getter at lotuseaters_com. Thank you and goodbye.